Okay, so the Mishnah introduced the prohibition, which, as we noted already yesterday, it's not clear whether this is the biblical prohibition or not. We're about to say it's rabbinic, but whether the prohibition is based on is biblical or not, that you couldn't rent property to an idolater anywhere because of the prohibition of lo tavi toiva el beitecha, don't bring an abomination into your house, and that's why it's only prohibited to rent and not to sell in chutzlaret, because selling is not a problem, because then it's not into your house, it's into his house. The problem is rental. We noted that bisman hazeh,
it's in Israel or outside of Israel?
Outside of Israel. Inside of Israel, right? Inside of Israel, selling is worse than renting because of lo tachaneim. Right? Outside Israel, renting is worse than selling because the potential, right? There's no problem with selling. He's allowed to own property in Chutz Laretz. There's no reason that he shouldn't own property in Chutz Laretz. The potential issue is that you would still own it and Avodah Zarah would be present in your property, and therefore it's more problematic to be renting than selling. We noted that halacha lemaisa, why is it that we do rent to non-Jews, which is the question we ask on everything in this perek, why do we ignore what's in the Gemara? It's like,
who's we?
Everybody, and everyone has for 750 years, or whatever it is. So answer one is maybe they don't bring Avodah Zarah in so often, and it's only the Kviyut, which is Tosfos, which we'll get into a little bit more today. The second one, which I really think is true in most Western countries that we live in, is that rent is considered differently in secular law than it was in the time of Chazal. In the time of Chazal, rent essentially meant you live in my house and pay me rent, and therefore anything you bring into my house is in my house. That's not how rental works nowadays, right? And as we mentioned yesterday, you could have it's temporary ownership, right? You get rights as a renter, right? Which the landlord is at a disadvantage in Western law, and therefore, even though technically you own it, like I said, like even trying to evict someone who hasn't paid rent in months is not easy. And you know, if someone pays their rent, kal vachomer, right? Like rent, like I mentioned, the whole institution of rent control sort of proves that they have a real rights that inhere in the property. And that's something the Shach already notes from the Ravan. Okay, fine. But what we didn't deal with yesterday is, okay, I mean, that's very nice in terms of the local prohibition, but this is part of a larger prohibition, which is lo tavi toifa el beitecha. Now, what exactly does that mean? And as we saw, the Ravid argues that it doesn't mean renting out property. That's not really the Isser D'oraisa. To start with, that is only rabbinic, because really the prohibition is, this was the Ravid that was quoted in the Rashba, number 2, for Ephraim, that really the Isser of lo toiva, the tavi toiva al beitecha, is where if you bring something in, you bring an idol into your house, not when someone else brings an idol into your house. So what I want to do is try to understand the Isser itself. What is its nature? And as we'll see, there are many possibilities. So let's move to number 7 here. I was in the middle of making a source sheet, and then I found someone had a source sheet, so I put a bunch of their sources in order, and then you can tell the difference between where my sources picked up and where I copied it from some online source sheet. Okay, there are 2 psukim that are in play. The first pasuk, let's start with number 8, is the one we've already seen. And that is, Lotavi toivail beitecha, vaita cherim kamao, shaket to shaketenu, vitaev to taavenu, ki cherim, who? Don't bring an abomination into your house. Now we're talking about Avodah Zarah, right? It'll be cherim kamao, it'll be, you know, off limits, destroyed, whatever. Shaket to shaketenu, treat it with disgust and hate it, for it is cherim, right? For it is off limits, right? There was a minhag in Europe, apparently. I think I mentioned this once, and I had a friend who still did this nowadays. I don't suggest it. That as he would walk by a church, he would collect the spit in his mouth and then spit in front of the church and scream, right? Shaket to shaket enu v'taev to daavenu kichirim hu.
You'll go to Gehel?
What?
I just knew Gehel. I
didn't say Gehenom. I said shaket to shaket enu v'taev to daavenu kichirim hu. This the end of this pasuk. It shall be an abomination to you, right? But the focus here is lotavito vayal beitecha, which means don't bring an avodah zarah into your home. Okay, that seems to be the context. In number 7, we have another pasuk that relates to something similar. This is in the context of the Yarni Dachat. What is the Yarni Dachat?
Oh, the damned city, when they do idolatry and then the
correct, where a city in its majority is swayed to worship idol, and there are a lot of conditions and things, but what? No, a Jewish city. Right, a Jewish city that is swayed to worship Avodah Zarah in its majority, and therefore we kill everybody in the city by the sword, and all the property becomes forbidden. Not just of the idol worshippers, but even of the non, like the whole city is, you know, there are a lot of conditions to this. Now, in that context, the pasuk tells you that kol shlala tikvot al toch rechova v'sraftah ba'eish ha'ir v'kol shlala kalil adonai lo'echa v'yit etel olam lo tibone od v'lidbach v'yadcham u'ma min ha'cherem l'man yashuv adonai mecharu napo v'natan l'cha rachamim v'richamcha v'yirbecha kasher nishbala avotecha. So all of the spoils shall be gathered into central square. Burn it. Burn the city. Burn all the property. Burn it. Right? Burn it, burn it, burn it. Destroy it for God. And it will remain a mountain, a mound for all of eternity. And nothing from that, those things which are off limit, should you, right, should you cling to, should you touch, should you stick to, so that God shall turn back his wrath. Right, it's the sugya of Yarni Dachat is quite a fascinating one. Halavai, it would be in Avodah Zarah, and then we would discuss it, but you know, I feel like we stick to Avodah Zarah, it's actually in Sanhedrin.
Is it, it's like a Malik almost. It's funny how they put
well,
it.
Well, we treat Jews like we treat the Shiva Amin. Yes, that is essentially what is happening. Correct.
We treat changed Jews.
Jews. These are Jews. These are Jews.
But they're doing Avodah Zarah.
Correct. Right. And the in Yarni Dachat, as some of the Mefarshim formulated, yes, we treat Jews the way we would the idolatrous nations. Correct. Right now, the Rambam expands this and said this is how we treat all Kofrim. That is the Yesod here.
Rambam said it, so must be right.
Correct.
Peaks
wage war. It's in the Mar Nevuchim. It's quite interesting. But yes, we seem to be waging war against Jews. But for our purposes, it's the second pasuk that I'm more interested in, which is v'lo yidbak biyadcham uma min hacherem. Right, which is don't touch any of the property. Okay? So, if you just look at those two psukim, right, what would you guess is the nature of these prohibitions? Right, both of them are telling you in a certain way that you cannot relate to Avodah Zarah beyond simply prohibiting worship.
Oh, don't!
But what are they doing?
Don't draw a benefit from it.
So which what? Which pasuk?
The one.
Right. So Irani Dachat sounds like it's a hana'a focused, right? Meaning lo yidbach biyad chamum and acherem. It's like don't, right? The focus is destroy it, and therefore you shouldn't cling to it. That right? It's right. Don't benefit it. It's off limits. Right? It's hana'a.
Unlike what we said before, where
now the only problem is that right. Trying to figure out whether that's only by Yarni Dachat or Avodah Zarah in general, right? We don't know. Right? We know that the particular instantiation of the law in drawing Yud Gimel is Yarni Dachat. Whether that tells us something about Avodah Zarah in general, maybe, maybe not. But I think Ephraim's right. That seems to be saying that in addition to not worshiping Avodah Zarah, things that become identified with Avodah Zarah, maybe only in the intense way that they are in the context of Yarni Dachat, maybe not, you can't benefit from. Okay? What about the second pasuk? What would you guess?
You cannot, if there's nothing involved with your house, just if you're making the house, if once there was a Avodah Zarah in the house is one of Avodah Zarah.
Well, it sounds like a Tumah Tahara issue.
It's Tumah Tahara, but what's the, I mean, just focus on the words.
Right.
What's the problem?
An abomination. It's wrong.
But what's the prohibition?
Of bringing something into your house.
Yes, bringing something into your house. But right? Meaning
causing it to end up in your house.
Right. So there's two ways of looking at it, right? So one, if we take a pshuto kimashmao,
is don't
right?
take the idol
and have it in your house. Why? Maybe because, not because of benefit, but because of association. Right? Meaning having it in my house is a way of associating. Even if I'm never going to benefit from it, I'm just going to, you know, have it there. It's like chametz, right? It's just anathema. Right? I can't have it here. It's not that I don't want you to benefit from it.
Right.
It's that I don't want you to associate with it. Right?
So
the first...
Oh,
we haven't said anything. I'm just saying you're reading the psukim.
Like yesterday we were talking about how you...
Whoa. Said step by step here. Right? So... That's the simplest read, right? That there's the Ir Nidaha one is talking about Hana'ah, right? Benefit from association with Avodah Zarah, right? The second one, Lotavi Toivah Beitecha, is don't bring it into your home, regardless of Hana'ah. Regardless of whether you're going to benefit from it, we don't want you associated with it. We want you to treat it actively as off limits, right? However, one could read the psukim to influence each other, such that Tavi El Beitecha might be, right? You could, if you wanted to, say, look, if I had Lo Tavi Tavi El Beitecha in a vacuum, so I'd say it just means don't bring it to your house. But once I know that in general, when we talk about Avodah Zarah, we talk more in the terms of benefit, it could mean that Tavi Tavi El Beitecha is understood in light of that, meaning don't bring it into your circle of things that you use. Right? Right? If you wanted to, you could blur the lines. Right? If you don't want to, you don't have to blur the lines. Right? But the point is that there seem to be two psukim in play. Now what did the Ravid say that we saw yesterday? The Ravid says that our Mishnah, let's come to a moment for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah quotes which pasuk? Okay.
The second one.
Right? Lo tavi toi vel beitecha. And prohibits what?
That you bring it into your... not him.
Prohibit? Have renting property to a non-Jew such that he will bring...
idols into his house.
Correct. And the Ravid says that's not the literal meaning of the pasuk. That's only derabanan, because the prohibition is only what? Look back at the Rash. Look at the Rash according to the Ravid number 2. Correct. Right? It's not... And this is... Right? You have to ask, lo tavito eval betecha, what exactly is the prohibition? You could read it in that two ways. Right? Which is... either literally, don't bring Avodah Zarah into your house, or, right, read it more expansively, don't allow it to be brought in. Right? I mean, that's not a literal translation of it, but it could, right, that could mean, right?
I.e., don't have someone renting your house.
Right, meaning don't have it in your house. The Ravid clearly thinks that that's not true on a biblical level. Right, I mean, it'd be the same way, right, is, like, if I say, don't bring drugs into your house, right? Right, I could mean, right, like, you don't bring it in, right? Right, but if someone else brings it in, big deal. Or I could say, no, what I meant was, like, it's illegal, make sure that it's not in your house, because you're going to be responsible for whatever's found in your house. And if you allow a bummy teenager to show up with drugs in your house, and then the police come, it's on your head. Right? Right, I mean, bring can be understood more generally, like, don't allow. So the Ravid says, that's not what we're talking about. Right, on a biblical level, we mean number one. On a rabbinic level, we mean number two.
Right.
Right?
No.
But. Okay, but that's the Ravid. Right, now we got to figure out, okay, does everybody agree with this analysis? Right? And part of this discussion would be, what is the connection between number one and psukim one and psukim two, right? Meaning the hana'ah psukim from Ir Nidachat and the Lotavi Toi Val Beitecha. Right. If you think that those are connected, then kamuvan, right? We're going to have to do a little bit of reinterpretation here, right? Okay, fine. So let us see. Besides for our Gemara, the issue comes up in one more place, and that's Gemara Makos Daf Chav Beis number 9. Ela Afik Havara. The Gemara there is going through a very bizarre. It's a very strange Gemara. The Gemara there has a series of different things where, with this one act, you violate 8 Isurim, right? And then the Gemara tries to figure out, well, what 8 Isurim are it? So it's like experiments, right? Let's see. Here's a bunch. Does that work? Nah, that doesn't make sense. Take out this one, swap it, right? It's trying to figure out, it's a game, right? How many prohibitions can you violate in a single act, right? You get a lot of weird things like that in the third paragraph of Makos, because what's the context? What is the topic of the third paragraph of Makos?
Getting Malkos,
right? The third paragraph is Elohim Alokin. So the Gemara has all these other things. Well, how many Makos can you get for a single act, right? right? So in that context comes all like types of weird cases. Like, what if you commit adultery with incest with a woman who is your sister, your mother's sister, and your father's sister all at the same time, right? Like, that's like the classic case. Birushia by Rishia, correct. The Gemara says, how do you get that? Birushia by Rishia, right? With multiple generations of incest such that by this point, right, I can't even, it takes me a while to reconstruct it every time, right? But somehow there was enough incest going on that by the time you have this person, right, a person, you know, a woman slept with her father, had a child, and slept with that child, and had another child, so, you know, like, you gotta, you know.
Yeah, I remember they're doing this Gemara. It's such a funny Gemara.
Right, so, like, there's a lot of that going on in the third paragraph of Makkos.
Your brother and your son at the same time.
Correct, exactly. You are your own cousin, you know, like, all types
you're
of things
own,
like that.
Yeah,
right, like, you are your own brother, like, you know.
Your own brother's uncle.
Yeah. You are your father, like, all types of bizarre things going on.
She has her father, that means her daughter's also her
I think,
sister.
If I remember correctly, it's exactly. A woman, is a, let me see if I can get it right. It's a woman sleeps with her son and then has a child. So now that child is
her son.
Is her son, but also the other guy's
brother.
It's brother and son, right? It's half brother and son at the same time, right? And then has a child with that brother, with that son, and then
it's a grandchild.
The grandchild is an uncle.
Whatever. I can't.
Grandchild's father.
There's a lot of this going on. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I can't keep all the incest in. You know. Whatever. Okay.
I will create this chain.
Anyway, it's fine. So, in the middle of one of those, like, not quite as disturbing, but also pretty disturbing, right? Cases, the Gemara says. So the Gemara is trying to figure out all the different violations you can violate at one shot. So at some point, the Gemara says, "Afik havara va'ayel atzei ashera." Let's just say that the case is not where you're burning something on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to. It's where you are burning something with wood from an asherah tree, right? Rav Solovsky's asherah tree, right? Right. Remember the asherah tree, the worshipped tree.
Oh, yeah.
And the prohibition is lo yidbak biyadcha. So now, that line is important because that Gemara already tells you that what? This Gemara seems to think that what? First of all, lo yidbak biyadcha, the Gemara understands expansively to not be limited to ira nidachat.
Not be limited to
right, meaning it's all idolatry, right? Because it's not limiting it to. What are you doing? Right. So first point is that the Gemara clearly thinks that whatever is prohibited under lo yidbak v'yadcha me'umah menacherem isn't limited to avodah zarah from an ir nidachat. It's any avodah zarah. Yes, that I think is undeniable. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, right, because it's saying an asherah, not a irani dachal an asherah.
This is the fact that you're getting punished on this, not just necessarily for having idols, but it's any idol worship that goes on.
It's not idol worship at all. You're using the trees from avodah zarah, and that is already prohibited because of lo yidbak biyadcham u'mena
macherem. It was associated with avodah zarah, therefore you shouldn't be using
it. No, it is avodah zarah. It wasn't associated with avodah zarah. It was avodah zarah.
He was actively doing avodah zarah.
No. He uses trees, which were idols,
right,
to cook his cholent.
Stew.
Whatever. Right?
Right. So
the Gemara says that's a violation of the yidbak biyadcha menacherem, which tells you that the Gemara thinks that whatever prohibition the yidbak is, it's not limited to ir nidachat, it's expansively understood by all of avodah zarah.
That's still you doing it.
That's the only point I'm making so far.
Okay.
It is expansively to all of avodah zarah. That's it. That's all I'm saying now. Fine. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava LeRav Ashi VeLil Keinami Mishum Lo Tavi Toeva Al Beitecha. Why don't you also violate Lo Tavi Toeva? Right, because you brought now these idolatrous trees into your
kitchen.
So Ella, how am I asking? You bishul batei hektish. So the Gemara seems to accept that, right? That if I bring them into my house and I use them, I would violate twice, which would be a problem because at that point the Gemara, if I remember this stage, the Gemara is only trying to find a way of violating 80 surim, not 9. Right? And the Gemara says, okay, you're right, it wasn't about dessert, it was hektish. Right? But that means that the Gemara, right, assumes that, right, introduces two distinct prohibitions, right, of lo tavi toiva, which is expanded all over dessert, and Lo yidbak biyadcha mumen acherim. Sorry, other way around. Lo yidbak biyadcha, which is expends all of the zara, and lo tavi toiva, which is clearly all of the zara, right? And those are two distinct prohibitions. Yes, that's what we got so far. And now we got to figure out, okay, what's the connection between them? Right? I mean, what's the Gemara saying? As we noted, the pshat, the simplest way of understanding it is that lo yidbak biyadcha mumen acherim is don't benefit. Lo tavi toiva adds another is if you bring it into your zone of right in your circle of usage, right, or into your home. So that could be what the Gemara is saying, right? That if I bring the Atzei Asher into my house and then I use them to cook my cholent, so I violated two prohibitions, or it could be connecting them, right? Which is, I mean, what's the Gemara saying, right? There's two ways of reading it. One is saying that by bringing it into my house and then using it, I violated twice.
Or just by the fact that you used it.
Right, the other one is to say, no, that if I use it, there's a double violation. Because l'tovi toeva, right, it's not literally about bringing it into my house, it's about bringing it into my circle of usage, right? And therefore they're both about hana'ah, it's just that you violate two isurim when you benefit, right? Those are the two ways of reading it, right? How distinct are they? We don't know.
Well, circle of usage still wouldn't imply that...
We don't know, that's what we have to see. Again, that's what we have to see, right? But I'm saying, if you want to understand where, as we'll see in a moment, the Mefarshim get their questions from, it's from this question within the Gemara, right? What is the connection between Isur 1 and Isur 2? Right? Are they identical, or they just happen to both be violated, at the, right? You know, as part of this process, but they're distinct. Okay, so if you look at the Rambam in Mitzvah Chov Dalet says as follows: Hamitzvah Chov Dalet he says Harnushel Lehonos Ulahachzik B'Davar Mimamon Irhan Idachad V'Amru Yitalev Lo Yidbak V'Yadcham Uma Min Acherim. The 24th mitzvah is not to benefit or to hold on to something, right, money from Avodah Zarah, from Irah Nidachat. Umishalakach menu davar chayev malkut, and if you take from it, you get lashes. Ukvarid baru mishpatei mitzvah zo beperek asiri misanhedrin. That's mitzvah chav dalet. Right, now if you just stopped at mitzvah chav dalet, right, so the Rambam, despite the Gemara in Makot, seems to limit it to Iran Idachat, right? But does he think that it's only about Hana?
No,
right? He, right, Umishalakach mimenu, or he takes it, right? Which means that he expands Lo Yidbak Biyadcha Uma Min Acherim from Hana to Hana or taking possession of, right? Which is going to start to blur the line between it and Lo Tavi Toiva Al Beitecha. Except that he thinks that this is by Iran Idachat.
Right.
Mitzvah Chav Hei, who she's Harnu, Mechaber Davar Me'Avodah Zarah El Mamoneinu, is we shouldn't attach any Avodah Zarah thing to our money. Aval Nirchak Mimenu. Umibateo, but distance ourselves from it and from its homes. Umikol mashi yuchasila, and anything associated with it. Vuhu amru yitalev lo tavi toivail betecha. Umishanene bedavram imenachai malkut. So now tell me, okay. So the Rambam says mitzvah chavhei of lo tavi toiva is. Don't. Let's be very careful. He says, don't. If you read the first line, what would you think the nature of the Isra is?
Benefit.
First line.
You can
associate. Right? Right? L'chaber, right? Meaning, even without benefit. Right? Don't bring it into our house. Right? Literally. He's reading expansively. He's don't associate with. But then he says, what do you get malkut for?
Bring it in.
Benefit. No. Yeah. Right, that's the problem, right? The Rambam's a bit unclear. Right? The Rambam is playing with two categories, right? He formulates it as don't associate.
So he's getting punished for that, no.
But you only get punished with benefit.
He's putting a fence line.
You'll get last for benefit. You'll get last for
correct.
It doesn't mean it's not us or otherwise.
Oh, good. Oh, for sure not. Good. So that's right. Right. So now, and then he continues. Right. So now, what does the Rambam have? Right. We have two prohibitions, which in Mitzvah Chav Dalet, I would have thought that the Rambam limited. it to Irani Dalchat, but he doesn't explicitly, because my mitzvah chaf hey, he quotes the Gemara in Makos. Right? Which means that how many prohibitions do we have? We have the first one, which the Rambam explicitly says is about Hana'ah. The second one, which he says, is about, it sounds like, association. But you only get Malkut with Hana'ah. Right? Which may mean it's... Right? That's... the only type of intense enough violation, meaning if maybe that's the only one that has a Maisa or something, right? But like I said, one of the difficult things in this sugya is to pin these down, because you get, in Mitzvah Chav Dalet, the Rambam is very clear that it's Hana'ah. In Mitzvah Chav Hey, he seems to introduce the notion that there is, that Lo Tavito Eva isn't only about Hana'ah, it's about association. But even there, you only get Malkus for actual Hana'ah, right? And that's why I said there might be an overlap, right? The question is, how distinct are these, right? Is it that there's one iser to associate, to bring something into your sphere, right? And the other is to get Hana'ah. Those are two separate isurim, or not, right? Is it the only the type of association that is Hana'ah-like, or maybe the Hana'ah-like that is, that it implies association? I mean, Hana'ah always implies association, but really only one way. Right, meaning is any bringing it into your rishus going to violate, or only Hana'ah l'may nafkamina? Right, l'may nafkamina. What's going to be the difference? Right, remember I asked this yesterday. Right, let's go back for a moment. According to the Ravid, it is only prohibited midaraisa for you to bring in the avodah zarah into your house.
A renter.
Right? A renter is not daraisa, it's only drabanan. Right? Why? Well, how does the Ravid understand the iser?
It's not you yourself. They don't want you to associate still.
So this is the question. Right? If you think it's about association, is it possible that a non-Jew bringing something into a property that you own, that is daraisa?
Is it daraisa?
Is it possible? Yes.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you could say that it's daraisa, right? You could say that if I own the property and Nanju brings it in, but I allowed him to, it is daraisa. You could also say maybe not. Maybe it's only an intense type of association, right? And that's why biblically it's only if I bring it in. Rabbinically, it's if I allow someone else to bring it in, right? It's not clear. What about Hana'ah? Right? What if the Isser is closer to Hana'ah? It's not about mere association, but it's association through Hana'ah. So then tell me, right? Is a non-Jew bringing it in?
It doesn't matter, because you're not bringing any benefits.
You're not like the agreement you have with the guy.
Ah, right. So remember I said that one could justify Tosfos on a Daraisa level also. Tosfos says it depends. If he's going to bring in idols all the time, then it's prohibited. But if he might bring it in once in a while, it's permitted. Why? So I said, you could just say it's because it's rabbinic, which is the way... Right, at least the last antithesis takes it, and the rush takes it. But I said you can make the same argument midaraisa, which is say, look, if
the goal of the place for him to live,
you could say, look, if a non-Jew is living in my property because I rented it to him, so I'm not associated with the avodah zarah. But from a Hana'ah perspective, it depends, right? You could cut this different ways. You could say that, look, if he has avodah zarah every day, right, he brings in idols, then I'm benefiting from the fact that idols are there. Why? Because clearly part of the reason he chose my house was because I was okay with him turning it into a mini temple.
That's right.
Right? It's like, but if he brings it in once in a while, right, maybe I'm not benefiting from it, because look, he's living here because it's convenient. I own property in the Upper West Side. Elamai, his mother is a devout idol worshiper, and he wants his mother to visit once in a while. Okay, so she visits, right? She brings her idol when she comes, right? If I said no, so maybe he'd say, you know what, I'll meet my mother at the restaurant downstairs, I'll tell her to leave the avodah zarah at the door, I don't know, right? But maybe I'm not really benefiting, right? Or that's one way of taking it. Or remember I said, maybe if the iser isn't about Hana'ah, it's about association, there are different levels of association. If an idolater brings avodah zarah into my property all the time,
right. Then
I'm renting out a base avodah zarah. If he brings an idol once in a while, so maybe I am benefiting, but if the iser is primarily about it, right, at a very far removed way,
right,
but maybe I'm not really associating with it, right, because it's not there all the time. And that's why I'm saying that these terms, association, right, I know they sound a little bit fluid, and at this point they still are, we haven't pinned it down, right? But these type of halachic distinctions, that it depends if it's there all the time, if it's not there all the time, is rent daraisa, is it derabanan, does it matter whether I bring it in or whether a guy brings it in,
what is the,
right, and I allow him to, right? You see what they're playing with are these different categories, with association, how do I define association, hana'a, how expansively do I understand hana'a, are they connected, right? Is it only hana'a, right, within my sphere, or is it only association, derech hana'a? How do I define hana'a, right? Those are, right, you have to pin those down, right? And as we can see already in the Rambam, it's not totally clear, right? The Rambam is,
it could be us,
is blurring the lines a little bit, because he's saying, look, lo yidbak biyadcha, sorry, lo tavito eva batecha is, in Isser, it sounds like an association, but maybe only, but the malchus component of it is only if there's hana'a, which means it's association through hana'a.
So it's a case,
right?
It means a case-by-case situation.
Well, I don't know if it's case-by-case, but I think as we look through the Mefarshim and we try to pin down the halacha here, right, I want you to understand, right, that there seem to be multiple prohibitions and definitions at play, and the question of how they relate to each other and how exactly they end up defining the iser is going to help us determine whether we think that this is deraisa, is derabanan, what's deraisa, what's derabanan. Now, so far, everybody we've seen has assumed that whatever is usher, right, exactly how it's usher, what isher are we talking about?
Avodah Zarah.
But there is another possibility here, which is, right, what's the key word here that might drive you to expand whatever prohibition we generate beyond the parameters of Avodah Zarah?
That's what they're on to you.
What's the word? Tell me one word that might imply that this discussion is not only true of Avodah Zarah.
Minhag.
It's a word in the Pasuk. Toeva.
Yes.
The word here isn't Avodah Zarah, it's Toeva, which in this context clearly means Avodah Zarah, but
can mean
many other things. And that's why I said, right, you know, we will see that the Chinuch is going to expand this. And I gave you at the end just for fun, right, a modern online tshuva who, and again, I don't know. I mean, look, you know what? Just for fun, let me read this to you now. Right? Look at number 23. Right? Just to understand, right, the way certain people can take this. Right? This is an online tshuva, so I can't, you know, like, there's not like, Haim televizia zeh begeder lo tavito eva al beitecha. Right? Is bringing a TV into your house violation to lo tavito eva al beitecha. Ki yesh lanu mishu beveit ha-knesset shomer shezeh lo. Because there's somebody in our shul who says it's not. Right? He's not asking whether it is. He said, I heard Rachman al-Azhan someone said it's mutter. V'sharabanim minasim lenateko tanu me'olam. And that the rabbis are trying to separate us from the world by telling us not to TVs. Lo tzarech Leavot kitzoniim, and that we should not be extremists. Haim mutar lo lomar divrei Torah. Is that person allowed to even say divrei Torah in shul? Right, that was the shaila. Right, I love how the shaila started. It started with, "Can I have a TV?" But that's not really the question. The question is, there was somewhere at the chutzpah to say that bringing a TV into your house is not equivalent to bringing Avodah Zarah into your house. Is that person so off the derech that he's not allowed to say any divrei Torah in shul? Right, that was the shaila. I love how shailas happen online.
I was even thinking of a crazier.
And the tshuva is, I love this. Migale panim batarash shekolo shaloka alacha kidarko shel hasatan. That person is teaching Torah against halacha the way Satan himself does. Kol haavirot shedavatara yeshba, because the TV has all avirot in the Torah in it. End of discussion. That's a particularly interesting application of this prohibition. I'm not sure I buy it. But again, we'll see that the chinuch, I don't know.
Darko shel satan. A satan.
I understand I'm the satan now because I'm not willing to sign off right away on this extremist position. I know, I now am going to Gehenna.
What about that sign that I saw?
You mean both?
Even having a cell phone with internet is Yerig Valyaf.
Yes, exactly. This was like, look, it was. I told you, one of my favorite moments was a few years ago at the Aguda convention, where one speaker gave a half-hour thing on how the internet is also mikra din, right, the worst thing ever, and the next speaker, apparently just to annoy him, read his speech off his smartphone.
That's great.
It was just like, right, there's a lot of polemics going on in this. But I bring this one to point out that in addition to the unclarity that I've just pointed out, which is How much is this Isra about Hana? How much is it about association? Right. Another unclarity in this sugya is the word Toeva. Is whatever Isra we end up deriving from this, what exactly is it? What exactly is it prohibiting? Is this because of Odeh Zarah so chamur? Or does this teach us, right, that in addition to not violating Yisurim, we don't want you to associate with Yisurim, we don't want you to benefit from Yisurim? I mean, what exactly is the theology of the mitzvah slash the application, the juridical application of the mitzvah, right? And that's going to come down to what exactly you think is so problematic here. Is it Avodah Zarah per se, right? Or is it anything which is anathema to Judaism, like television, Rachmana lo leinu, right? You have to go get gloves and you have to go to the pigeon event, so we'll pause here. But those are the questions I want you to think. Tomorrow we'll go more quickly through the sources. I don't really want to spend more than one more day on this, but we'll see, maybe we will. But now I think we've sort of at least outlined, or I've used these sources more closely to outline the types of questions we have to ask. We'll try to pin them down a bit more to tomorrow. Yeah, I found this tshuva online. I was just like, I was thinking, gotta love it. Gotta love it.